Hello, and welcome everybody to another episode of Pot Strickland. I'm your host, Shwinny Poo, and this is episode 394. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Presidente, that is at underscore Presidente on X. Prez, how are you doing on this rather delightful Wednesday morning?
Yeah, I am not quite in your neck of the woods, but in New York, and the weather is nice and a little frosty, but nice nonetheless. I'm doing all right. I'm past the ecstasy stage of the W.
I'm doing drugs.
I cannot comment on the answer to that question, nor will I divulge details about what the ending of that game made me do in my spare time. But
pleading the fifth, very lawyerly.
Pleading the fifth. Exactly. It's not my first rodeo. So, I'm past the, like, I've watched all the videos and all the angles literally 100 times. And now my brain is kind of on to the regular Strickland stuff, which is what do I hate about people's takes in the aftermath of this? And, you know, what X's and O's stuff can Tim's change going into the next game? And can Nurse change and all that? So I'm excited to see what you think of some of this. I've been a little, fortunately, I think, unplugged from some of the takes and some of the narratives since the game. So I don't know exactly what the streets are talking about outside of very sad Philly fans. So also eager to hear what you think about that.
Well, we will talk about it for sure. But before we do that, do we have to make a few announcements? The first being that Strickland has an Instagram. Check that out. That is at the Strickland Atlanta Instagram. We are posting all kinds of new content on there. Strickland also has a YouTube channel where you may be watching this podcast. If you are not done so already, please hit like, subscribe to the channel, leave us a comment. That'd be a huge help to us. The Strickland also has merchandise, which you can find on our website at www.strick.land. There's a link that'll take you to the merchandise store, and you can find all kinds of cool stuff on there. T-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, coffee mugs, water bottles, you name it, we've got it. We've also got a new line of merchandise, the Nova York line, so definitely check that out. The Nova guys are doing well for themselves in this playoffs. At least two of them are. We need a third one to show up. But we also have a Patreon, which you can subscribe to. There are a number of different tiers. There's a $6 tier that gets you access to Pot Strickland, this podcast that I host every Friday with Prez. You also get access to Takes from Robbie's Bozos, our newest podcast that is hosted by Andrew Steele, a.k.a. Doug, along with Zach Blatter. And you get access to the Strickland Discord where the conversation never stops. There are further tiers. There's a $9 tier that gets you access to Trick and Roll, my solo podcast, I ran for him at the DC Memorial. You also get access to wonderful premium articles by Matthew Miranda, one of the best in the business. And now you get access to Strictly NFL, which is, you guessed it, our NFL podcast that is hosted by Constantine Metricos. There are further tiers. There's a $15 tier, $30 tier, $50 tier, and $100 tier that's come with a variety of additional benefits to listen to pod recordings, merchandise discounts, and it potentially goes to the podcast. Alongside yours, truly one day, whether you choose to subscribe or not, none of this would be possible without you. And none of this would be possible without Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchup, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Okay. So the Knicks did win a basketball game a couple nights ago, Monday night, to be exact. In very dramatic fashion, as you alluded to. They win 104-101. They take a 2-0 lead going back to Philly. There's much consternation, much controversy over this victory because of fouls that were missed and whatnot. I've made this very clear, but I don't really think that the officiating was a problem. And I said that, and I feel like pretty good about saying this, because I tweeted that out during the game. Like, I just didn't think the whistle was bad either way. Like, I mean, it was Were there individual calls that were bad? Yeah, of course. Like, no doubt. There are definitely like 5 or 6 calls that I was like, how do you not call that? I can't believe the Knicks are getting fucked. But like on aggregate, I think the series has been called fine. And I say that as somebody who's like obviously very annoyed by watching Joel Embiid and all these various things that he does to get to the line. I feel like Maxey, I still couldn't believe the one call he got where he like elbowed Brunson in the face, basically. And was like, yeah, they're like, yep, that's a defensive foul, no question about it. I thought that was kind of crazy. But yeah, on the whole, I just don't think the officiating's been bad. Like, I just think it's been pretty even. And I mean, it's not like some huge advanced analytic I'm doing here, but like the Knicks have taken 7 more free throws in the series. 2 of those were intentional fouls from the game on Monday, and 4 of them are from intentional fouls from game 1. So in like actual fouls being made and actual trips to the line, the Knicks they've had 1 more free throw attempt than the Sixers over 2 games. I have a really hard, and I don't think either team has had any significant foul trouble, right? Like in terms of like guys, you know, playing through it. I mean, I think Hartenstein got into foul trouble early in game 1. I know Lowry.
There hasn't been much in the way of like free throw parades or foul trouble.
Yeah. And so like I just don't get, I think it's pretty fucking pathetic that like the entire conversation that Philly kind of pushed with their grievance and all this stuff after game 2 was that like, oh my God, the Knicks are getting this amazing whistle. Also the Nick Nurse thing, give me a fucking break, dude. The guy like half-assed, he did not try to call a timeout first. He was like thinking about it and then didn't, pulled his arms away.
Yeah, I want to talk about that real quick.
Yeah. And then he only tries to call a timeout when Maxey is on the ground. And the last thing I'll say about that before I let you just kind of go off on your own thing here, I can't believe I'm doing this because I feel like I'm like fucking Mike Breen or something. Like if the ref sees you initially try to call the timeout, right? But then you're like, actually no, I'm good. They're gonna be like, okay, all right. So he doesn't want the timeout. Once Maxey is on the fucking ground, the ref is not going to, his first instinct is not going to be, let me look at Nick Nurse. No, he immediately is going to look at Maxey, look at the ball. Does he have possession? All these various things. And then by the time Nick Nurse is actually like vehemently, you know, oh, I need a timeout. I mean, the game, like the ball was loose. It's not clearly in Maxey's possession. It's not even in his possession at a certain point, obviously. And also, like, if we're going to be real, like Tyrese Maxey is a really good young player. He had a great game. He had a great couple of games, actually. If he just calls a timeout on the ground there, nobody's talking about this. He panicked. That's what happened. He panicked. He freaked out. He lost his composure in that moment. All he had to do was call a timeout, and they get the timeout. You know why? Because every fucking ref was looking at Tyrese Maxey. He's on the fucking ground with the ball. Like, I just kind of find it really weird to expect the ref in this heat of the moment situation to, like, just be staring down Nick Nurse. Like, I don't really get that one. And I also don't think he called the timeout until the possession was, you know, not in Maxey's complete control there.
Yeah, I'm glad you have video. And for people who are listening to this on like Spotify or Apple or whatever, like run it back for a second on YouTube and you'll see Schwinn gesticulating with his hands and demonstrating how Nick Nurse was like, almost timeout, but is it a timeout? No, it's not a timeout. And like, that's a very dangerous game for a coach to play because literally, if you have, like, instead of doing the T with your hands, if you have, like, the bottom of the T as, like, a fist because you're preparing to call a timeout, and then you're going back and forth between, like, oh, almost a timeout call and then not a timeout call, like, you're going to make life a lot harder on the ref just to see when the actual timeout is called. And, you know, Nurse he's a brilliant tactical coach, but he has a history of playing with the refs in this way, right? Like whether it's
he did that thing with the Celtics where like they were shooting. Didn't he do something where he like faked called a timeout or something like that. Like, he did something. He shouted something. I forgot what it was. It was like a big deal. I'll look it up. I forget what the hell it was.
I don't remember, but like, whether it's on the court or he's the kind of, like, Tibbs will argue with the refs and shout, but like, Nurse is on another level. It's just like, even after the block, the Hartenstein's game saving, game winning block, he was trying to say there was a jump ball. Like, what? Like, what the, what? Like, no one on earth, Philly fan or Knick fan or otherwise, was like, there was a possibility of a jump ball in the scrum, like, for the rebound that OG Anunoby got after that. Like, the guy is just kind of shameless about the ref stuff. And we know that because Joel Embiid told him as much and told the media as much back when Nurse was coaching the Raptors, coaching against Joel Embiid. It's one of the reasons why there's something poetic about Nurse being Daryl Morey's coach and Joel Embiid's coach and them losing in this fashion, because all these guys to different degrees rely on taking advantage of the referees in a way that most of the league doesn't. And for them to lose in this fashion, I'm not shy about saying, like, it gives me great pleasure to see them go down in this way. Like, regardless of you know, what you think of the calls at the end of the game, and I think it's reasonable to think that Maxey got fouled. I also think Maxey clearly pushed off Josh Hart, right? Like, to your point, like, I think the refereeing was pretty even, like, as far as how they let them play. Like, were there fouls? Probably. And if you want to litigate every single foul that could have happened or could have been called, like, yeah, be my guest, dude. Like, just be fair about it. And this is the other thing I wanted to talk about. I think,
by the way, just before you continue, this Nick Nurse thing, they played the Celtics in the bubble in game 6 on a possession late in regulation. This game went to double overtime. The Raptors won. Tie game late in regulation, about 45 seconds left. Tatum has the ball. Nick Nurse basically positions himself in the very, very corner, like the corner, like the corner 3 area, and clearly is like making some type of gesticulation or says something, and Tatum like basically passes it straight to him.
Oh, now I remember.
Like, this is what I'm saying, dude. This guy does this type of bullshit, and like, I actually kind of like respect it, but that's why I also don't want to hear about like, oh my God, I can't believe they didn't give me this fucking timeout. And it's like, dude, I don't even think you were calling a timeout until like, you're like, oh shit, did we lose the ball here? Let me try to get this timeout then real quick. No, like, I'm sorry. I thought that was bullshit. And, you know, did Maxey get fouled? Maybe. I don't know. Like,
he got, look. Maxey got grabbed. Cool. Fine. Whatever. Yeah. Like, that's
yeah, I think the grab, but is like, obviously a foul, but like the one where he collapses on the ground, I'm sorry, I don't care what the fucking 2-minute report says. To me, that's just not a foul. He's trying to sell the contact, and that's why when he goes on the ground and he realizes nothing was called, he like freaks out. He freaked out. He lost his composure. He's like, oh my God, I can't believe they didn't call that. I just the entire thing, and it's like, dude, all this inbound stuff. Go back and watch every single time Jalen Brunson's trying to get an inbound or deuce even in the fourth quarter. And it's like, you've got Nick Batum just like holding on to them. And it's like,
that's what I'm saying. It's pretty even in that respect. And I want to go back to the last 2 minutes thing, because I can't speak on other teams' fan bases' experience with the last 2-minute report. I know like other teams, every team has had their share of like, what, this pivotal thing cost us this game in January or February or October or whatever. Right. Like, the refs are the refs, and this happens to every team, but like, just speaking from the perspective of a Knicks fan, like, to me, there have been very clear instances over the last couple of years, 2 years in particular, that like, that made me realize like, oh, like, this isn't like a report on an umpire's accuracy calling balls and strikes in baseball. Like, there's a lot. Like, this isn't necessary. The last 2 minutes reports isn't necessarily fact-based. It's something where you get a very small pinhole's glimpse into how they review calls, and it is 100,000% influenced by the situation and the outcome and the politics and the context. And the very clear example from yesterday or from Monday is like, okay, put the timeout aside. They said he should have gotten a timeout, whatever. I agree with you. I think like he was playing around and he shot himself in the foot. Just talking about the fouls, like they said, like, okay, Maxey should have been granted a foul call because Brunson held him. And the last 2 minutes report mentioned nothing about Josh Hart blatantly getting pushed, which means either they thought that push was legal or they thought it was marginal or incidental contact, which are, putting my lawyer hat on, words that the NBA uses in these last 2 minute reports and in these pool reports where they talk to refs about calls. Those are the kind of words that the NBA uses to basically tailor the outcome to whatever they want. And if you think it sounds kind of like tinfoil hat conspiracy theory, it kind of is. And you shouldn't be surprised because the refs are very protective of their standing and of their integrity. And it shouldn't surprise folks that the league is also protective of that. And they will do what they want to protect that. That's what I would do if I was Adam Silver, to be frank. And stuff like that lets you know that, like, pretty objectively, the last 2 minutes report is tailored to, or this last 2 minutes report was probably tailored to sort of appease the 76ers a little bit after their, their gripes, their formal gripes, their grievance. That's the word. And, you know, it is what it is, but like, don't get it twisted. Like this, if they actually went through the last 2 minutes and called every hold, every push that happened to both teams, these last 2 minutes reports would be like five times as long for one. So like, just know that like, if you're the kind of fan, if you're a Philly fan and you're trying to cope, and you're trying to say, like, look, the league says Maxey got fouled and things went against us. Like, I understand that. Like, that fucking sucks for you, dude. But, like, on some level, like, I think a lot of Philly fans know, like, the refs, like you said, the refs were pretty even and they were letting them play the whole game. And you shouldn't expect that to change much in a last second inbound situation.